everyone. I am Reva and just want to take a moment and thank you for listening to our studio podcast. Although we are here in Greenville, South Carolina, we are grateful for your support to see the message of Jesus go out all over the world. In case you are not aware, we have a YouTube channel, which you can find the link in our podcast bio. We hope you enjoy this week's talk and it encourages you and it helps you to be the human God designed you to be. So with that, let's get right to it.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, it's so great to be with you guys. So good to be with your team and be with your, you know, the group yesterday was super fun. Just, you guys laughed at all the right spots. That was cool for me, you know. My wife calls the humor the anesthesia for surgery, you know, because it is, there are kind of some big topics that we cover, you know, they're kind of life-altering stuff, and if I didn't make you laugh, you'd be mad at me, okay? That's just kind of how this works. So since I have only one shot at you, really, I leave right after this to head to Portugal for the first time. Never been there before. Going with my wife and some friends for our 40th anniversary, and which was last June. So we'll eventually get to that anniversary celebration. We'll eventually get to there, honey, before the next one. So I thought I would just maybe start out with kind of a easy subject, you know, something that just kind of, since we're new to each other, I thought I'd just kind of come in slow and soft launch, you know, soft launch you. And I want to talk to you about the fear of the Lord because I think it is maybe the most important thing of our day. I think that the losing the fear of the Lord has created such a mess in our day, in our generation, I'll just say. You know, I don't think that any country has a corner on awful. I think that everywhere where we lose the fear of the Lord, we have become adrift and lost. And so I want to talk to this about this subject because I think Christians, especially professional Christians, you know, the Christians that do it for a living, they have a hard time discerning the difference of the fear of the Lord and the fear of being punished by the Lord. That somehow the Lord is the big yellow truck and we are the little red trucks. And the Lord has the power to smash you. But lucky for you, lucky for you, lucky for you, you know Jesus. Lucky for you, though. Because otherwise, squish. Because that's his desire, really. He is holy. And if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, he would just squash you. Lucky for you. Okay? And somewhere in the back of our heads, we have this idea that our Father is anything like any human we've ever met. And he's not. He's like no human you've ever met. And here's why. Because he is not afraid of anything ever. You've never met anybody like that. You've never met a human being who's not afraid of anything ever. And all the people who act like they're not afraid of anything are afraid of everything. The fear of the Lord is so important. It's so vital. It literally says in Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And wisdom is this beautiful journey in our lives. It has everything to do with how we get to know God. It's because he sets in front of us a set of adjustments that we have to make to get closer to him, to know him more. It's all about the adjustments and the corrections that you and I are willing to make. And so the fear of the Lord has everything to do with adjusting, growing, maturing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, meaning that if you will pay attention to what you fear, you will grow and gain in wisdom because we worship what we fear. We worship what we fear. We bow down, we submit to, we surrender our resistance to what we fear. And throughout time, we look at civilization, man's pursuit of God, and pagan worship where the volcano blows up and we go, oh my gosh, God's mad. Let's throw somebody in it. That'll calm him down. You've got to calm God down all the time. He's so mad. God needs anger management classes. I tell you what, here you go. Here's some important stuff to us. Let's throw it at you. Here's some money. Here's my obedience. I'll obey you. Just calm down over there. Here, I'll do the thing I didn't want to do. I'll do it. If you'll just calm down. If you'll be okay, I'll throw that in the volcano. What do I got to throw in the volcano? You want my pickup? I really love my pickup. There you go. You got my pickup. No, that's because you got married. That's what happened. I'd sell my truck. Yeah, this is not an appeasement relationship. This is not a self-preservation relationship. You are not surviving God. The fear of the Lord is not your mastery of self-preservation in your relationship with God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Therefore, the fear of everything else is the beginning of foolishness. So it kind of begs really us understanding what do we fear, right? What are you so afraid of? In the United States, in America, in first world nations especially, in 2025, we don't really think of ourselves as idolatrous. I don't have any statues in my house of, a hippo with a quarter slot in his eyeballs that I could throw money into. I don't have a fertility god of a mini-breasted, snaky hair lady. We don't have idolatry in our day and age. You worship what you fear, right? So there's a whole bunch of folks that are really afraid of being disrespected, of being insignificant in life, of not kind of cannonballing into history with how they happened here. And so they worship at the altar of power and dominance. You're going to find me at the top. That's where you're going to find me. You're going to find me first. I'll be the guy or the lady with the trophy or the checkbook. I'll be the fancy big thing. Everybody will have to notice and respect what they see. I don't know. Okay, well, what happens to you when you're disrespected? What happens to you when somebody's disrespectful to you? Sure. Homicidal. Homicidal. There you have it. You just touched it. Boom, touched it. What happens when you lose your status? You're just not as big and awesome as you were last week. How do I get it back? What do I got to do? Am I still lovable? Am I still valuable? See, I know what I'm afraid of because of where I spend my time worshiping. A lot of people are just so afraid of other people. They've just given away so much power over their well-being, trying to get other people to be happy about them, like them. You know, social media is kind of this giant trap. The Bible says that the fear of man is a snare. And you get sucked into worshiping acceptance and approval of man, and you can't get your face out of your screen. You can't quit posting about yourself. I mean, it's kind of comical to walk through a public place and see so many people going, like, whoa, goodness, do you realize that's goofy? I mean, do you notice anybody's watching you? Because the people that are watching you think you're stupid. I mean, you can't even walk across that bridge, wherever it is, that bridge down. I mean, I was walking and every single 10 steps was somebody taking a picture, somebody else. I'm going to post it. Some people are just so scared of conflict, disconnection with other humans, that I would just bow down and worship denial, create a false harmony around me. No, I'm fine. No, I'm good. No, that didn't hurt me. No, you can't hurt me. I'm not a real human. You could be as mean and disrespectful and abusive as you want, and I will just keep coming back for more. I'm like that one of those blow-up clown, you know, that you punch them. Like, I'm a weeble, but they wobble, but they don't fall down. I just keep coming back. I'll just keep pretending like everything's fine. I'm just a lying coward in this relationship. And I'll be a volunteer in this abusive relationship for a really long time. Why? Because I worship at the altar of denial and false harmony. Is this working?
Yes.
You guys all got real quiet on that one. Yeah. Here's another one. I'm so afraid of failure that I just can't even see it. It's just unbelievable that it would happen to me. And so if I'm faced with failure, shame is a dragon that rides me around and convinces me that I am unlovable. And that hurts so deeply that I have to mask myself with self-righteousness. I have to protect myself by being in control of how everything around me looks, how everybody around me behaves. I'm in control of everything all day, all night. It's who I am. I'm a control freak. I worship at the altar of self-righteousness and control. If you were here yesterday, we had some advice for control freaks. Remember what it was? Control your freaking self. Yeah, control your freaking self. That's what you can control. That's what you can work on right there. Spend the rest of your life controlling your freaking self. Right? Now, hardly any of us would confess to idolatry. Because it's not this tangible statue. It's not a graven image. But it is what you fear. It's what I fear. It's where people spend their time sacrificing. obeying, surrendering. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is a wellspring of life. The fear of the Lord is what delivers me from evil. The fear of the Lord is what causes me to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is not a whole bunch of no's, like no to that, no to this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. No, the fear of the Lord is a yes to this. Because when I say yes to this, I just said no. The fear of the Lord keeps me from evil. The fear of the Lord is mentioned one time in the New Covenant. The New Testament, one time. It's kind of confusing because if you think about the fear of the Lord being some kind of self-preservation, and then you read this, all the churches are experiencing revival. There's, you know, signs and wonders and miracles, and they had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. There you go. There's your New Testament fear of the Lord. What in the world? That hardly looks scary. Comfort and edified and multiplied doesn't sound like terrified. So confusing. You know, Jesus appears to John in Revelation. You remember this? Jesus, you know, his hair, his eyes, his, you know, he's there. Boom! And John goes, bam, like a dead man. Remember that? He's just laying like a dead man. Because that's what's supposed to happen. If you see the Lord, you're supposed to die. And he saw the Lord and he falls to the ground like a dead man. And Jesus says, that's right, you dog. You lay there. You lay there like a dead dog. That's right. That's what I like. That's how I like to run my relationships right there. You lay there like a dead dog. No, he doesn't. He doesn't say that. You know what he says? Remember what he says? He touches his shoulder and says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. See, Lucifer has us so twisted up in who the Lord is and how he is that until we actually look through the eyes of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we cannot see the Father. We cannot understand who we're in relationship with. And so it becomes so incredibly important that we realize that the fear of the Lord is what keeps us out of idolatry. The fear of the Lord is what protects us from evil. The fear of the Lord is a wellspring of life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so we have to understand what the pursuit of wisdom even looks like. The pursuit of wisdom is a journey that is filled with corrections, adjustments. And we've made an idol out of being right. They will know that we are Christians because we were right. Like, that's not what that says. But if you get on Facebook, that's exactly what it says. No, the road to wisdom, the path to wisdom is filled with corrections, adjustments. The Bible says that he who loves correction, who loves instruction, loves understanding or loves wisdom. He who hates correction is stupid. You got to love when the Bible calls you stupid. You know, you just got to love that. That's the New King James. Go look it up. He who hates correction. See, you and I have been trained to believe that he who needs correction is wrong. And wrong people need to be punished. And so our fear of punishment, our self-preservation in relationship with punishment, makes us afraid of correction, of adjustment. I mean, ask yourself, do you love correction? You love it yet? You love it? Come on, you love it. Any of you who love it, turn to your spouse and go, I love it. Come on. Yeah, they're lying. They look at you, you liar, you liar. You don't love correction. You a liar, liar, pants on fire. You freak out at the latest correction. I love how the Bible also calls wisdom her. Yeah? Yeah. That's going to cause some trouble. Yeah. You're welcome, guys. Yeah. The wise man loves to adjust. The wise man loves truth. Because here's the deal. When you learn the truth, when you are faced with truth, you will be adjusting. You know why? Because truth is the goal. Wisdom is the goal. Love is the goal. I'm the one that's going to have to adjust. I'm in relationship with the perfect lover. My father is perfect at this game. I mean, he is perfect. I know some of us think we're married to perfect, but no, he is perfect. Therefore, 100% of the adjusting in this relationship will be me. Yeah. I gotta love that. Yeah. I gotta love that. I got to understand that this dynamic is built for me to succeed. It's built for me to experience a wellspring of life. It's built for me to keep me from evil. My love and correction. I love it. I love it. I'm corrected enough today. Oh my gosh, I need some more correction. I'll go talk to my spouse. I'm sure they got some for me. The ultimate relationship, I basically have two rules. Don't break his heart and don't disconnect. Don't break his heart and don't disconnect. Don't do the stupid things that you know are going to hurt him. He's made it perfectly clear to you what those things are. Don't do that. And don't lean on your own understanding. Don't act like he's the one that needs to be corrected. Love correction. Sherry and I have been married for 40 years, and I walk in the fear of Sherry. Okay? Walk in the fear of Sherry. Now, that is not the fear of being punished by Sherry, because we've already established that she cannot control me. Okay? You can't control me. How many of you have been married for at least 25 years? Come on, let me see your hands. 25 years. Look here. Come on. Yeah, give it up. That's a lot there. 25 years. 25 years is about how long it takes to finally give up all hope of ever controlling the other person. Right? I mean, you just wake up one day, you look over at him, you go, you're never going to change, are you? Okay, what are we going to do now? As a young man, I had I scroll over options on my menu and all these choices came down. I could do whatever I want. I could do whatever I want on this list. You're not my mother. You're not my babysitter. You're not my boss. You can't tell me what to do. I'll do this one. There. That's right. Who's free? Who's free? Huh? Yeah, I'm free. Yeah, and I'm disconnected from you. And so I sacrificed our relationship for my freedom. So so many years later, that menu list has been edited, self-edited. I mean, the condition I had before is called young man disorder. This is YMD. I have a serious YMD. Because I'm just trying to prove something all the time. I'm willing to sacrifice the most important thing for something dumb. Over time, maturity is the self-editing of that list. And now the only things on that list are things that will protect my relationship with Sherry. That's the fear of Sherry. And that is my message to her, that I love her. The fear of the Lord is not the fear of being punished by the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the fear of being disconnected from the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the fear of injuring my relationship with Him, because being disconnected from the Lord is a lousy day. The disconnection, being disconnected from the Lord is a lousy day. The fear of the Lord is a wellspring of life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's what keeps me from evil. Being connected to the Lord is the smartest thing I can do. Unless I'm just not done with the YMD. You know? And then I'm trying to prove things that are never a threat anyway. He's not trying to control you. God is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is control, right? Yeah. Oppressive control, yeah. No. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. See, a lot of people think we're going to die and go to church. No, we're not going to die and go to church. We're going to heaven, right? We're going to heaven. And heaven is where they make the Spirit of the Lord. That's the factory. Number one export from heaven. Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of the Lord. Freedom. We're going to die and go to more freedom than we know what to do with. Earth is freedom practice. It's not church practice. What are you going to do with all the freedom coming your way? We practice right here with the fear of the Lord. Few things destroy relationships like freedom. Because freedom reveals our character. And most of us are pretty disappointed when we see what freedom has revealed. So we need the fear of the Lord to be the fear of being punished by the Lord to keep us in check. Like you do, you need the highway patrol behind you to keep you on the speed limit. You know? At least I do. I mean, what motivated Jesus in this whole thing, right? Jesus he doesn't have to go to the cross. Jesus doesn't have to go to the cross. Is it still working? Yeah, Jesus doesn't have to go to the cross. He chooses it. You think that Jesus is afraid that his dad's going to punish him if he doesn't do what he's told to do? You get up on that cross, boy, right now. Oh, you do not want to cross me. Right? No. We know that Jesus was looking for a way out of the cross. It's a garden scene, right? It's like goes to the garden, he tells his disciples, hey, stay awake, okay? And he comes in, I like to think it was a phone booth, you know, he's like in there, like, It's a box on the side of the road, had a phone in it, and you had to put money in it. Ask your grandparents. They probably remember. Yeah, this phone booth, he's in there. He's like, yeah, hey, hi, Dad. Yeah, hey, how's it going? Yeah, cool. Yeah, yeah. To Holly, I said hi. Yeah. Hey, I was checking about tomorrow. Big day, you know. Wow. I was just wondering, guys, have you guys come up with anything? Anything else? Just wanted to be up to date before we go into tomorrow. Sure, nothing, same thing, same plan, really. You didn't come up with it. Anything, okay, all right, okay. Could we have Peter do this? No? No, okay, all right, okay, well, not my will. Which is to avoid being crucified tomorrow. But your will be done. What motivates someone to self-sacrifice like that? It's the fear of the Lord. It's the love and connection. That is what brings heaven to earth. That is how covenant relationships work. That kind of love. I learn it from him through the fear of the Lord. Through being unwilling to grieve or quench his Holy Spirit in my life. And manage myself in all my freedoms to protect us. And that is how I become an exporter of God's love to the people around me. If I don't have that, then I'm exporting something else. And it tends to come from whatever idol I'm worshiping. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And wisdom looks like I love to adjust, to protect love. I love to adjust, to protect love. Amen?
Yeah.
All right, let's all stand together.
Thanks for listening to today's talk. If you're interested in learning more about Studio here in Greenville, you can go check out our website, studiogreenville.com, and you can give us a follow on Instagram. Our handle is studio.greenville. Have a great week.